Welcome to Doers of the Word with David Middleton, pastor of Jesus' Lord Outreach Center in Phoenix, Arizona. This radio program will teach you the practical knowledge of the Word of God and give answers to your questions about the problems in your life so that you can live in victory. Open your heart and mind as Pastor Middleton shares the uncompromised Word with you today.
Praise the Lord. This is David Middleton welcoming you to the Doers of the Word radio program, where we're teaching you the uncompromised Word of God. We're going to continue to share with you on the subject of the blood of Jesus. And we looked at the blood in the Old Testament scriptures. We've seen the fact that in the Old Testament scriptures, it reveals that the blood is a living thing that has a voice and speaks even after death. We understand that the life of the flesh is in the blood. We also see that covenants are made by the shedding of blood. We also see that blood was shown to signify judgment that was going to come. Also, the blood would protect those in covenant relationship with God if they would walk in His ways, of course, and would protect them from the judgment that God brings upon the enemies. We also see that blood was sprinkled upon the people after they committed to do the Word of God, which they heard, and to be obedient to all that God had commanded them to do. We also saw that the blood was covering over the sins of the Israelites under the Old Covenant as the high priest put the blood upon the mercy seat in the Holy of Holies once a year. We also saw that it was applied to Aaron and his sons for cleansing in the ordination into the priesthood. It was also applied to the people's members for cleansing in the trespass offering. We also saw that the two birds alive and clean in the Old Testament revealed Jesus, the slain bird, shedding his blood on the cross, and then the resurrected bird carrying it up to heaven to appear before God as the better sacrifice once and for all to accomplish the redemption. It was also sprinkled on the mercy seat eastward by the high priest as one of the goats for the sin offering, and Jesus fulfilled this as he was the final sacrifice, and his blood went down on the westward side of the mercy seat. We also saw it was represented by the scarlet thread, which protected Rahab and her house from the destruction when the Israelites came to take the land that God had given unto them. So we've looked at these Old Testament scriptures which show you about the blood, all pointing towards what Jesus Christ has done for us. Now we're going to look at the blood in the New Testament. In Matthew chapter 26 and verse 28, the Bible says, "For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." This is the time of the Last Supper, and Jesus made two important statements about what his blood was going to do. He declared that his blood was going to be shed for the remission of sins, and that his blood would bring forth a new testament, which is the new covenant. So in declaring that his blood would be shed for the remission of sins, here Jesus was revealing that he was going to die as the final sacrifice of the old covenant on the altar of the cross to bring forth the remission of sins. This would fulfill the old covenant requirement. And then Jesus also said that his blood would be the blood of the New Testament. That meant that a new covenant was going to come into being. Of course, this has been prophesied by Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 31. The new covenant was going to be made between the Father and Jesus. And remember, because covenants are sealed and ratified by blood, Jesus' blood was going to be shed. The Old Testament was sealed, ratified in the blood, and entered into by circumcision of the flesh with Abraham. The New Testament is sealed and ratified by the blood of Jesus, and this one is entered into by circumcision of the heart at the new birth. Now, in shedding his blood for the remission of sins, Jesus accomplished redemption. Redemption means to purchase back or rescue from loss. Redemption was necessary because of the wages of sin and death. Remember of Adam's sin. Man was separated from God. He was held captive under the authority of Satan, abiding in spiritual death. But in order to purchase and rescue man back from spiritual death and see that he be reconciled to God, somebody had to come and redeem him. Redemption had to be accomplished. Now, redemption is accomplished by the payment of a ransom price. The price that had to be paid was death by a sinless man, not under spiritual death. Because the life of the flesh is in the blood, then sinless blood had to be shed to pay the price. The ransom price was the precious blood of Jesus. And we see this in 1 Peter 1, verse 18 and 19. It says, "Forasmuch as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversations received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Also, we see in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9, "For thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood." Ephesians 1, 7. "In whom we have redemption, through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace." Colossians 1, 14. "In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." So these scriptures, they clearly show that the shedding of blood accomplished redemption. Now in Hebrews chapter 9, it speaks of how this was accomplished. In verse 11, the Bible says, "But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctify to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" In verse 19, "For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water, scarlet wool, hyssop, sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, This is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you." In verse 21, he says, "Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood is no remission." Verse 23, "It was therefore necessary that the pattern of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifice than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, not to appear in the presence of God for us, nor yet that he should offer himself often as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he have often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." So Jesus, our high priest, entered into the holy place in the true tabernacle in heaven to appear before God. Just as Moses sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of ministry on earth, so also did Jesus sprinkle the heavenly things with the better sacrifices of his own blood. Now through his blood, he entered in once into the holy place, and he obtained eternal redemption for us. Now in Colossians 1:20, the word declares that the blood brought peace and reconciliation, and, having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. In Romans 5:9, we learn that we're justified or made righteous by the blood, and saved from God's wrath, which is released at the time of judgment. Being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. In Revelation 1:5, the word declares that we're washed and cleansed from our sins by the blood of Jesus, unto him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood. What happens when we confess Jesus our Lord and Savior? We're born again. Jesus washes us from our sins in his own blood. Now in Acts chapter 20, verse 28, and in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 to 20, it also talks about the church of God being purchased with his own blood. Jesus is now the head of the church and the body of Christ. Those that have been born again, we're members of the real church of the firstborn. We're not our own. We've been bought with a ransom price, the blood of Jesus. It's important you understand you are not your own. Acts 20:28, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 and 20, you are not your own, for you are bought with a price. That's the blood of Jesus. He's purchased you. That ransom price was paid. In John chapter 6, and verse 53 to 58, here's where Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. For he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him." Here Jesus told his disciples that they must eat his flesh and drink his blood to have eternal life in them. He further said the disciples who eat his flesh and drink his blood will dwell in him, and Jesus will dwell in him. When one eats and drinks something, what he eats and drinks comes within him. And Jesus was telling disciples that in eating his flesh and drinking his blood, they would take him into them. So that was declaring to the disciples that Jesus was going to be their God and Savior, and that he would come to dwell within them. This pointed towards the disciples receiving Jesus as their Lord and Savior, being born again into the new covenant, whereby the Spirit of Jesus Christ would come unto them. The result of receiving Jesus within brings eternal life, and the Spirit of Jesus Christ comes to dwell within us. It's our brand new spirit, and now we're dwelling in him. In Ephesians 2:13, we're told that those in Christ Jesus are now made nigh unto God by his blood, so that you and I now can freely approach him and have fellowship with him. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Hebrews 10:19 says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. That shows the fact that you and I have boldness or confidence to enter into the holiest, the presence of God, by the blood of Jesus. Then in Hebrews 9:14, here we see how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. That reveals that when Jesus offered himself without spot to God, his blood now purges our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Then in Hebrews chapter 10, it says about how the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified in verse 29. So it's what causes us to be holy. In Hebrews 13 verse 12, wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. In Hebrews 12:24, we see the blood in heaven, which speaks of better things than Abel's. It speaks of mercy instead of judgment. Hebrews 12:24, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. The blood makes us perfect in every good work to do his will, stated in Hebrews 13 as well. Hebrews 13, verse 20 to 21. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ. In 1 John 1:7, we see something where it speaks of us having fellowship. It says that we have fellowship if we walk in the light. Verse 7 says, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So, as you walk in the light, as he's in the light of God's word, then the blood continually is applied, cleansing us from all sin. Also, in Revelation chapter 12, in verse 10 and 11, the Bible says, the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Here we see the fact that they overcame Satan's accusations by the blood of Jesus, because that was what he was doing. He was accusing them. So the blood of Jesus has brought us into covenant relationship, redemption, being able to draw nigh unto God. It brought us to the place of justification or righteousness, a washing from our own sins. It brings us peace and reconciliation. We've been purchased into the church of God through the redemptive work. We're bought with a price. We're not our own. It brings forth eternal life so that we're dwelling in God and us in him. It also gives us boldness to enter into the presence of God and a purging of our conscience to serve the living God, sanctification. And it also speaks of mercy instead of judgment and a means whereby God can make us perfect through his word to do his will. Also, we can have fellowship with God, with one another, and the ability to overcome the accusations of the devil against us day and night. That's all through what the blood of Jesus Christ does for us. Well, we're out of time for today. We're going to continue on this subject in the next broadcast. As I close the program today, I want to make available the book that I have on this subject, entitled Understanding the Blood of Jesus. It's available for $6, postage paid. If you would like to get it, please call me at 602-279-5212. Again, my book called Understanding the Blood of Jesus, available for $6, postage paid. If you'd like to get it, please call 602-279-5212. I want to invite you to our church in Phoenix. Services are Sunday at 10 a.m. and 6:30 p.m., Wednesday at 7. For more information, call 602-279-5212.
We trust you've enjoyed the broadcast today. To purchase books, audios, or videos, please call 1-877-77-DOERS. That's 1-877-773-6377. You can visit our website at www.doersoftheword.org. If this broadcast blesses you, we invite you to become a financial partner so we can take this ministry across the nation. Until we greet you on the next broadcast, may God bless you as you are a consistent doer of the Word of God.